KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. Actually, we got a couple lady doctors in the room with you right now. I'd like to introduce a colleague of mine from California State University, Dr. Tracy Bennett. Hi, Tracy.
Hey, Wendy.
And you're here for a couple of reasons. One is because I love you and you're smart and I want to see your brain working on the radio. But secondly, because you have this amazing business called GetKidsInternetSafe.com and you have this passion for dealing with online trolls, online bullying, how kids can use social media safely.
I really do. You know, I'm a mother of three. My oldest is 23 now,
and
though.
I see that you also brought a studio full of teenagers
and
here.
And I brought my teenagers. So my 15-year-old and my 13-year-old are here and a 15-year-old friend. And, you know, I started Get Kids Internet Safe because there was such a difference in raising kids that were 10 years younger than my oldest. Because only Facebook was around when I was raising her, and it was pretty simple.
Right.
But these guys have had mobile digital media in their hands since they were a little tiny, and I started seeing things happen in my practice, just blowing up great families, families that were connected and talking to their kids, but their kids were getting in all kinds of trouble, which I could detail as we go along.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started Get Kids Internet Safe because I wanted to keep them safe. And there was so much to learn and so much to talk about that it's been 5 years I've had the website going. And now I have interns from Channel Islands helping me research. And my book is almost done, Screen Time in the Meantime.
This is a mom and a psychologist, and that's the source you turn to. And before we get into talking about kids and social media, I want to talk about the phenomenon of 13 Reasons Why, the Netflix series. I read the book when it was a book years and years ago with my older daughter. I think it came out in 2007. So my older daughter's now 19 or just about 19. So if she read it when she was 13, so what we're talking, 6 years ago, I read it with her. And I just thought it was an interesting book about this, the voice of this girl who committed suicide, or actually the voice of the guy who found this audio tapes. And she left a series of audio tapes explaining her suicide and giving basically blame on 13 people who all had a tiny piece in this. But then jump forward 6 years and out comes this series on Netflix that is wildly popular and the kids are binge watching it like crazy. I'd say the sweet spot age is probably 13, 14 to be watching this series. And there is some debate in the media about whether this particular subject matter and how it is dealt with in 13 Reasons Why is good for our kids or not. Before I tell you my opinions, why don't we start with you, Tracy?
You know, I'm totally excited I get a chance to talk about this because I was going to write an article, but I haven't developed my ideas. And the reason why is because I'm a slacker. So the kids, they binge watched it over spring break. And we were talking about it as they watched it. And then mom started writing in to me and I started talking to them about it. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I don't have the time, but I need to spend 16 hours watching this series because I'm not a huge TV watcher.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of it now. Are you crying? Is it sad?
Well, I'm kind of thick-skinned, yeah. You know, because I'm a clinician. But I am an empath in some ways. And it is a brutal thing to watch if you know kids. Mm-hmm. If you know kids. And I've talked to a lot of my teenage clients about it. And fortunately, overwhelmingly, they say, you know, Dr. Bennett, it's not really like that. It's not that bad. But I think it's not that bad for them. I think for some kids, it is that bad.
Right. So when we talk about the some kids, let's talk about the ones that are vulnerable. What if they've had a family history of suicide? What if they're a child who just might be vulnerable to anxiety and depression? These are the kids that could be triggered by this kind of content.
I have so much to say about that. You know, when I talk about cyberbullying, one thing that I don't see written about that I see in my clinical practice is that it used to be only vulnerable kids were bullied.
Mm-hmm.
And now all kids are bullied. You know, if you stand out in any way that day, mm-hmm. you know, if you do get better grades or get worse grades, you're a target. If you're more developed or less developed, you're a target. If you're an athlete or not athletic, you're a target.
And God forbid your sneakers are wrong.
That's right. I mean, it used to be that, you know, virtual or non-virtual bullying was pretty serious, and it still is. But the kids are on 24/7.
Yes. The other thing is there's no place to hide. So if you think of when you and I were kids, Tracy, we had, you know, might have had a bad day at the school on the schoolyard. We could then go to our church choir practice, our Girl Guide group, our volleyball team, and we'd have this whole other cluster of friends who remind us how lovable we are. And we have this social support. But now they're all in one giant fishbowl together, swimming around, and are influencing each other. So there really is nowhere to hide. And then you come home to your family where you think it's the safe haven. And what do these kids do? They put their nose right in their phones and back on their digital media. So even the home doesn't feel like the safe place anymore.
Well, and it's confusing for them because on the one hand, you know, they feel connected online.
Right.
You know, we're born to connect. We're that's, you know, what you've based your career on. We're born to connect. And so we reach out online and it's like a drug. The first hit is overwhelming and satisfying. And then after that, you're chasing that first high. You're slightly dissatisfied, right? And if you put it away, you go through withdrawal.
Right.
So kids are on it to stay afloat, but they're not really happy with that kind of connection.
So we're going to talk more about that a little later, but I want to stick for a minute on this 13 reasons why, because parents are trying to make a decision whether their kids should watch her. Do you have an age that you say definitely no way at this age?
I really go against guidelines, and I'll tell you why. Because every 13-year-old's different.
Mm-hmm.
I've been actually watching it with my son. He's watching it again with me. Like, he'll walk in the room, he'll see me watching it, and he'll watch it with me and talk to me a little bit about it. And I feel like he gets it, even though he's 13, and I think that's on the lower end of okay, to be honest.
You know why I have a 13-year-old daughter who binge watch it. Mm-hmm. And here's one of the reasons why I think it was actually good for her. So she's just a teeny, teeny bit on the spectrum. And she's trying to make sense of social relationships. Mm-hmm. The fact that she learned that small things add up when a whole group does something socially was huge social learning for her. That there are these 13 people out there who, not even realizing that they were part of a girl's emotional life, and it cumulatively became, cumulatively led to feelings of depression for her, made her understand that even the small things can add up.
Yeah, it taught her personal accountability.
Right.
And there's so little online personal accountability.
And so I think in some ways that's a positive message of the movie.
I agree.
Unfortunately, when you get to the end scene and she's actually committing suicide on camera, it is a graphic scene.
Well, and I think it also stimulates fantasies that aren't very healthy for us. They're normal, but they're not necessarily healthy. In other words, how many of us have not thought, oh, if I was dead, you would regret this? Or, you know, how many people would go to my funeral? Suicidal ideation is fairly common.
Right.
Especially during adolescence when times are hard.
I often have the feeling of, you know what, I wouldn't actually have this long to-do list tomorrow.
Well, this isn't your therapy, Wendy.
Right. Right.
No. I could just do that.
Not today.
Right. Yeah, but my point is that with these tapes, it kind of engenders this, that she was able to show them by killing herself and by bullying them with these tapes. I mean, if this really happened in real life, these people's lives would be devastated, if not now when they're kind of protected, but eventually.
So when we come back, I want to talk to one of the teenagers that you've brought, and I want to talk about a few talking points that have been released by Save Suicide Awareness, Voices in Education, and JED. What does JED stand for? The JED Foundation. It's all about preventing teen suicide anyway, and we've got some good tips for you parents when we come back. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. Larry Perel has the news. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you, and I am with my colleague and, can I say, friend, Dr. Tracy Bennett of GetKidsInternetSafe.com. And we're talking about 13 Reasons Why. If you don't know about it, you've been living under a rock. It's a series on Netflix that pretty much every teenager in the world is binge-watching these days. So let's bring in a teenager. You are 13?
14.
Did you watch it?
I did. I've been binge watched it over spring break.
The whole thing. Nice and close to the mic. There we go. And now that you've seen it, first of all, did you cry?
No. No. It was just like, it was something that you watched just in a string. So you weren't really paying like attention to like the graphic stuff, you're more following the storyline.
But isn't the storyline sad that all these people hurt her enough to make her depressed enough to commit suicide?
It is sad. It is sad. But like a lot of shows now all kind of do the same thing. So it wasn't really any new material to kind of shock you.
You know, Wendy, that show.
Dr. Bennett, are they are desensitizing
they're
kids?
They're desensitized, aren't they? Well, I think there's two things. She's desensitized because she watches that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But also, teenagers have defenses in place that make them tough. You know, they have a sense of omnipotence, like mm-hmm. nothing bad can happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
They have a sense of idealism that, you know, things are going to go well. That's why they start social movements.
Yeah, I often think that it's the parents who freak out more because we're being re-traumatized with the bad memories.
Right. And we kind of have a lot of wisdom where we understand lots of different facets of it, where they're pretty egocentric still. No offense.
I but think still that could be a positive, too.
It is positive. It helps them plow forward and meet a lot of people and do new things and not be afraid of the world
right.
at a time where they need to launch.
All right. So let me ask you. How young do you think is too young to watch 13 Reasons Why?
Surprisingly, I think it's 10 years old because that's when you start really getting into social media.
Is that like fourth grade?
Fourth, fifth.
That's the big time. Fifth grade is when they start getting all the phones.
All the phones, yeah. Yeah, so that's about when you should probably start worrying about watching, having your kids watch it.
So I'm a big believer in telling your kid to read the book first. At least they do some reading and they have to take it slower. And then you can say you can watch it.
Right. And I think with books, you only let into your mind what you're ready to let into your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas instead of having a producer
decide.
Graphically shove it into your face.
We should tell parents, though, that they have our permission to say, no, we're not going to have this in our house.
Absolutely. I happen to disagree with her. I think 10 is too young.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I respect her opinion, certainly, and she has a real point. I mean, if they're old enough for a smartphone and a screen, they're getting that content to some degree already.
Well,
right?
That's the next question. Can a parent really ban a kid from watching something nowadays? Or will they find it? The head shakes from all the teenagers behind you.
Were they shaking yes or no?
They were shaking no. It's okay. We don't have to answer that. So that's the conundrum for parents. It's like, well, do I say, no, you can't watch it and then risk them watching it at somebody else's house or on their smartphone or what have you? I say it is better as parents that we are in the culture with our kids and treat these things as teaching moments. Help them through it. Help them understand. Fast forward through scenes or say it's okay to not look at the scene. Aren't in 13 Reasons Why, aren't there two rape scenes?
Yes.
How'd you feel? Did you watch them?
I did watch them because there are such like big points in the story. Pretty important parts of the tapes that they were on. So if you fast forwarded them, you would really miss a big part of the plot.
Dr. Tracy Bennett, how do you respond to that?
You know, I happen to think rape scenes should be outlawed on media. I really do. They are so distressing.
Because it's sexual, modeling too.
Well, it's sexually modeling and imagine the triggering it does to victims. You know, the fact that the wrong people are watching that and learning about that. And some people are gratified by it. It frightens me to no end.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I tend to be a pretty moderate parent. Like I think that's what you were talking about, Wendy, you know, what's too young. And I think that it's a problem to give really strict guidelines because parents know best.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be so permissive that anything goes,
mm-hmm.
but you also don't want to be so authoritarian that you lock them down and that they feel like they need to sneak. Right. You have to be flexible and go on the fly and decide at that moment what's better for your child at that time when you're available to help them process it.
And I say watch it with the kids so you can stop it and talk about it and pause. And my favorite metaphor for that is the brick wall parent versus the jellyfish parent. We all vacillate sometimes between wearing those, but we all hope to be a flexible backbone parent.
Right. And, you know, anybody who reads my blog articles knows that I don't get too self-righteous about being a mother because I'm not a perfect mom.
Nobody is.
Nobody is. We're good enough. We do the best we can. You know, I have structured guidelines that I try to follow, but even these guys snuck 13 Reasons Why from me. I didn't really realize what
before
a big impact it was until they watched the whole thing. So now we're talking about it after the fact.
Interesting. So when we come back, I'm with Dr. Tracy Bennett of Get Kids Internet Safe. We're going to talk about how to get your kids internet safe and what you can be doing to immerse yourself in their digital culture, because they are digital natives, and how we can keep everybody safe. Also, can we talk about trolls, Dr. Bennett?
I think we need to talk about trolls.
I've had a few trolls in my life lately.
I have read some of your trolls. I'm mad at your trolls.
They're pretty
awful. In defense of you.
Well, then obviously they worked. You're listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. Larry Perrell has the news. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk. You're with Dr. Wendy Walsh. Hey, you want to win a cool $1,000? Let me tell you how to do it. Just listen all week long, Monday through Friday, to KFI. Wake up call, Bill Handel, Gary and Shannon, John and Ken, Tim Conway Jr. You have a chance to win $1,000 every hour all day long. So here's what you do. You listen specifically to 20 minutes past the hour. At 20 minutes past the hour, exactly, listen for the keyword, and then you text it to 200-200. If you win, you'll get a call back within an hour. If you don't win, then you get another chance in the next hour. How cool is that? Listen, every hour at 20 minutes past the hour. Okay, moving along. I'm with Dr. Tracy Bennett of Get Kids Internet Safe. Can we talk about the mean things that trolls said to me?
I have to know. Does it bother you, or are you just used to it because you've been in media for so long?
I almost feel like the last two times I was attacked by trolls did desensitize me.
You know, because most writers I know, you know, I belong to these writers groups, and they say they don't read their comments at all because it just bothers them still to this day. So they just don't even look.
But I don't want to miss the nice ones. So what I do is, so I used to believe, here's the problem, is we're afraid to stifle these trolls because we think it's against freedom of speech. And I don't want to create an echo chamber for myself. If it's political, I want to hear all sides of something. I'm a registered independent. I want to hear everything. But on the other hand, if somebody doesn't show their face, in other words, there's no picture, so I call those a blank, and if they don't have a name that's a real name, and if they're just not being polite, like, I'm open to discourse that's in disagreement with me, but if they're just attacking me or of any of my people, now I just love that block button. Well, block.
I have to say, Wendy, that's what's shocking when I read your threads. A lot of times the people who troll you have an open profile. Like, they're people with families, and there's pictures of their families and what they do, their jobs. And I'm thinking, wow, this could really reflect poorly on them. I mean, it's a public discourse.
Did you hear the story about the priest?
I did.
Oh, my God. Did you see the comment?
Yes.
Okay, we got to tell everybody. So what happened is, like, what I was doing during the troll attack of the last few weeks, and let me stop and say, the troll attack was less than 2% of the love and support that I received on social media during a time when my name was in the national news. We don't need to go into all the details anymore, but there was a time last week and the week before where my name was in the national news every single day. And as a result, many people came to find me online, and I am so grateful for the kindness that everyone expressed to me. So this tiny little segment, when I would see the nasty stuff, and I particularly didn't like it when they'd send it as a private message, like they didn't post it publicly. There's this one from a priest, and it says somewhere in the South. I don't remember which state.
Georgia.
And, okay. She remembers. And Episcopal priest?
Yes.
Okay. And so he's got his black collar white thing, you know, and it's a picture. It's real. And his thing says something like, you're going to burn in hell for this. Just watch. And so I screen grabbed it because it was a private message, and I posted it on my public Facebook page. And I said, well, here's my favorite piece of hate mail for the day from a priest. Ha ha. And then, of course, many friends commented about, oh, that's crazy. Can't believe he said that, blah, blah, blah. And then you go down, and all of a sudden there's this message from one of his upper bosses, another priest or monsignor or whatever they call it.
The archdiocese.
Okay. And he's like apologizing to me. And now I'm feeling bad because I didn't mean to shame the guy. And said he's been stripped of his license. He's no longer allowed to be a priest.
You know, Wendy, that's what I'm talking about, accountability, though, because one of the finest people on the planet I know and one of my best friends is an Episcopalian priest.
Right.
And the thing is, you know, it's based on acceptance. So it was shocking to hear the hateful rhetoric coming from him.
Yeah.
I understand him having personal feelings because he's a human being. We all have that.
Right.
And I understand him disagreeing with your conduct. Right.
But,
I get
but
that.
But it's the attack.
But the attacking
words
language,
like,
he used, the shaming, you know, talking about you burning in hell. It was out of line, right, and it was unprofessional. If he wants to talk like that, don't use your professional title, especially in the trolling comment.
Yeah, create a trolling thing that has no picture.
Anonymous.
I'll be anonymous, exactly. But let's talk a little bit about trolls. So trolling has come up, and I think it's only going to get worse. It's online behavior that we define as being disruptive, offensive, and hurtful towards other internet users. And there are two slight definitions, with slightly different definitions, of a troll. Some say it's like that image of the troll under the bridge who's going to jump out to bite you and get you when you're not ready. Others say it's somebody who's laying bait. They're out there looking for their victims who will jump and say negative things. But it is considered a form of cyberbullying, for sure. And what can we do to stop it? Because many experts think it's going to get worse.
Well, I think it has a sadistic component to it. And why are people sadistic? You know, some people are born with a genetic predisposition, but others simply feel invisible in their lives. And this is their way of trying to become visible, mm-hmm. right? Negative attention is better than no attention. So if they feel small in their non-virtual lives, they're going to attack big in their virtual lives.
I have another theory, too. I believe many of them had trauma in their lives and are carrying a lot of rage. And I am this humble container who can hold it for them. And they're injecting it, thinking they're injecting it into me, but it doesn't. I can take it from them because anger is like a hot potato. You know, we pass it around between each other. And then when the other person takes it and gets mad, we start to feel just a little bit better.
You know, that brings up an interesting, because when people troll me personally, I'm not as upset than when people troll my friends. So when I read that them being, I was more upset by you being trolled than I am about myself.
Isn't that interesting?
And you know, a lot of people cyberbully as a form of loyalty. So I'd put my hands on the keyboard to shame somebody for being mean to you. And then I obviously would pull back because I didn't want my personal likeness with bad messaging too.
Well, here's the other thing is once the trolls start in a long comment stream.
Don't feed the troll.
Right. But the good people go away. They get quiet because they're afraid. They don't want the trolls turning on them. So that's why I started blocking
and blocking. Well,
and
they don't want to feed the troll.
Right. And that's why I just started blocking and blocking and blocking and blocking. So my rule is on my social media, and please follow me as a birthday gift today. My handle is at Dr. Wendy Walsh everywhere, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. My rule is I want to hear all ideas, but I want to hear them respectfully, and I want to hear polite discourse. Otherwise, I'm a strong mom, and you will be disciplined. By being, first I tell you, I usually give somebody a warning, not a troll, but somebody who just says they're kind of attacking my friend and their tone of voice is not the way I like it. I'll just say, excuse me, I'd like a little more polite tone. And if they don't change it, then they're blocked. That's it.
Well, you know, as a clinical psychologist, too, I want to throw in a social psychology paradigm that I use on Get Kids Internet Safe on one of my cyberbully articles. And that is the diffusion of responsibility. It's called the bystander effect. Do you know about this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think what happens is, you know, when you're online, you reach thousands of people, but you also know thousands of people are watching. Mm-hmm. And as a result, you don't come to people's defenses as quickly because your responsibility is diffused among the masses.
Right. Isn't that crazy that if you're a victim of a violent crime, the more people there are witnessing it, the less likely you are to receive help.
And everything online has thousands of people witnessing it. So we become less accountable.
Right.
And we also behave badly.
Mm-hmm.
Even good people behave badly online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what can people do when they see trolls? Number one, don't feed them, right? Don't respond to any of their comments. Don't try to make them smarter and educate them.
Shaming them isn't going to work.
Right.
So even though that's what we all want to do.
So you need to basically ignore them or block them. That's your only choice.
Absolutely. Just don't watch it. You know, it's don't read the comments. Right. Recognize that that's part of being a public figure.
Yep.
You're going to be trolled.
Well, that's what happens to me. But let's talk about kids now, because your website is called Get Kids Internet Safe. I'm here with Dr. Tracy Bennett. And how are parents in this digital world going to keep their kids safe when they are online from kindergarten, going onto these sites to learn to do math and read?
Well, my membership site's almost done where I answer that question in thousands of videos, because there's so much involved in parenting virtual kids, non-virtual kids, mm-hmm. right? There's just so much. But I would talk about it in three major areas. One is the connection between you and your kids. I think that's the most important, that we need to parent better more than ever before, because we're having to help them maneuver through this very complex landscape. The other is blocking and monitoring with tech tools.
Mm-hmm.
And the third is lock solid parenting strategies. Because when you asked, can parents block people from watching 13 Reasons Why, and my kids shook their head no, the truth is you can only be so successful, right? You can block and monitor and do all the things right, and they're still going to get content that they shouldn't see or that you don't want them to see. And then you have to be present to help them process that information.
Okay. Dr. Tracy Bennett, can you stay with me for one more segment? Because I have some important questions for you.
I would love to.
I need to know about what age a kid should get a phone, in your opinion. I need to know whether you think it's an invasion of privacy for parents to be reading their texts. When we come back with Dr. Tracy Bennett, you're listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show here on KFI AM 640. Larry Perel has the news. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk. This is Dr. Wendy Walsh, and we are into the home stretch here on our show. I think the show should be another hour longer because it goes by so fast.
There's so much to say.
So much to say. I am with Dr. Tracy Bennett of Get Kids Internet Safe. And before the break, there were two questions I wanted to ask you that I don't want to forget. And I know you don't like guidelines and hard rules, but give me a guideline anyway. What age do you think kids should be getting phones, smartphones?
You fixed it right there. Yeah. I think they can get flip phones earlier, but I really say no smartphones until middle school and after the first semester. And I'll tell you why. There's so many risks with that mobile technology. I mean, they already have their tablets. They have their computers. They have lots of access for digital literacy, which they need.
Mm-hmm.
But once they're carrying that phone in their hand, you lose an enormous amount of control as a parent. And it competes with their ability to get their work done, other activities, et cetera.
Here's the thing I liked about once my kids got phones is that now I had a good disciplinary tool. So I would remove it if I didn't like their behavior. If you're not doing it, or you're not, no phones until after the homework's done. No phones until this. And so
that by itself proves my point.
Because
addicted. That's all that matters to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to protect that three-dimensional experience of the world and being bored so they can learn and build their brains while they're young and mm-hmm. flexible. So the longer you can keep it away from them, the better. And you don't want to do it during transitions, right? So you don't want to do it. A lot of parents say, oh, you're in middle school now. You're a teenager. It's time for you to have a smartphone. The problem is they also have six new teachers and thousands
lockers.
Of new friends.
Yeah.
And a locker combination to remember,
yeah,
right?
A lot of stuff.
Yeah. So make it contingent on performance. If their first semester they're able to master all of that, then absolutely it's time for a smartphone. But they're going to start compulsively checking that phone, and it's going to interfere with your relationship with them and with their peer relationships and everything else.
Excuse me, I didn't hear you. I'm checking my email.
Exactly.
Right now.
I saw that. I know. You're grounded,
so
Wendy.
Exactly. I'm as addicted as anybody. So let's talk about privacy. I believe that when a child or teenager posts something online on their social media, this is not, you know, a parent going between their mattresses to read some diary. This is watching them with a megaphone standing on a public street in Times Square screaming out information. I believe it's incumbent on all of us, the parents, the friends of the parents, the village, if you will, to let people know if the kids are saying or doing anything inappropriate online. But what about the private texts? I mean, I know a girl whose mom reads every one of her texts because she uses the same iCloud or something. So it goes into the mom's phone as well as her phone.
Right.
And she's 13 years old. Should mom be reading every text?
No, mom shouldn't be reading every text, but she should have access to every text.
If she wanted to check.
Well, here's what I think. So I've been working with TeenSafe, which is an online monitoring program. And we have this controversy quite often because, you know, some people are using it as spyware without people's knowledge. And I'm really trying to spread the news that it's important that you have an open, transparent relationship with your kid. Like if you're talking to them about having credibility and honesty, then you need to have that too.
Right.
So sneaking and spying, I think, is a real misservice to your kid. But if you say to them, look, anything you write on text or post, other mothers are reading it. Other teachers are reading it. Other kids are sharing it. So just know that I have access to all of that. I'm not going to read every word you say because I have a life and you deserve privacy. But at any time, I can look into it. If I get concerned, I'm going to spot check once in a while. And when they're younger, you check more and then you check less and less. So by 17, you're not checking anymore. Because they really need to have a lot of freedom before they go off to college.
You know,
right?
I have the opposite problem. I have my 13-year-old shoving her phone in my face all the time. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Watch this video. Mom, see this. Mrs. Like, she really wants me in her digital world with her. She shows me everything that the other kids post. Is this inappropriate? Look what she's wearing. Right? So she's always like the moral police and asking for my opinion on stuff. So I'm really lucky.
That means you're doing it right. I mean, that means you're really feeding that connection. And that is what I help parents with the most. You know, so I've been practicing for 20 years, and what I'm really good, one of my superpowers is building rapport and talking to kids and teenagers and teaching parents to do that with their kids. And when I started Get Kids Internet Safe, I thought I'd be teaching people how to do tech blocking and monitoring. And at the end of the day, Wendy, it's all about relationships. It's about me teaching parents how to connect with their kids and be there like you're there for mm-hmm. your daughter.
How to have a healthy attachment. If you keep your kids close, they're going to be fine.
They're going to need our help through the way. And exactly. not to take over, not to read everything,
Yeah.
not to have them only as our lives. They need to see us have a well-balanced, happy life, too.
That's so true. Dr. Tracy Bennett, you can find her online at GetKidsInternetSafe.com. Thank you so much for being with us.
Really fun.
And thanks to you for listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. I'm here every Sunday from 4 to 6. And on Wednesdays, I'm with Gary and Shannon from 1 to 2. So listen up. And I love to talk about psychology and relationships. Now, speaking of relationships, another one of my favorite colleagues is coming up next. Don't miss him. Mo Kelly, KFI AM 640.